So what happens in the fellowship of this church? What is a week at Jacob's Well? Well, you heard some things. You heard that tonight there's going to be theology pub. But this morning already, there was a group that met at Coffee Hound, right? And did a Bible study. Of course, we have our children's ministry going. We have our worship service now. Tomorrow night, the men's Bible study will meet. Tuesday night, we're not doing it this week because I'm going to be gone, but every other Tuesday night, we have a reading group that gets together and reads C.S. Lewis. We've had in the 20s, typically. We meet at Wesleyan or at my house. Wednesday night is a keystone here when we pray, and we do. And we form our chairs in a circle, and week after week, I'm struck by the needs. And the willingness of people to be vulnerable with their needs. Because that's the beginning of something healing in people's souls when they'll share their burden, when they'll share what they need, or the burden of a loved one. And trust me, the list is never gone. The list grows, and we have blessings. We have situations. So I'll just give you a for instance. We've been praying for Jody Faulkner's brother Ben, who has been near death on life supports. They life flighted him to Barnes Medical Center in St. Louis. He got pneumonia, and the pneumonia became a heart infection. And they decided that the only way to save him is to do heart valve replacement because this infection has ruined his heart. And so we've been praying for him. He's been near death. He's been on life supports for weeks. And so this Wednesday, I check in with Jody and say, what's the update on Ben? She says, much praise. He's off of life supports. And now he has to get stronger so they can do the heart surgery. All right, well, we will just keep bringing Ben before the Lord. And so that's a praise. Well, at the same time, Wednesday, I get a request from Jamie Spencer that her mom has been discovered to have a brain tumor just this last week, and malignant, and they were doing surgery for her. And so, I mean, this is life and death stuff, friends. This is hard, and yet it gives us some place to go with it. It gives us something to do together to hold each other and help each other. And there's a list every week of 20-some things that are everything from job-related to health-related to emotional situations. But it is a powerful time on Wednesday nights here. And you don't have to pray, but to be here is to be supportive and to be a part of it. And as I've said, we'll send out a request. And for those who have done that, I sent that out this morning, that if you can't be here, you'll at least know what to pray for. And so if you can't be here, but you want to pray, you let me know, and we'll send you what we talk about and what we pray about. Thursday nights, there's a women's Bible study in the basement. And then we have special events. Like last Sunday night, we had our fall festival, the biggest turnout we've ever had, well over 100 people. And one 8-point buck showed up as well during the event. So there are other things. And like we announced about the holiday dinner we're going to have and so on. So if you're visiting this week, this is kind of a small congregation. What's going on here? There's a lot going on. And it's good. It's good. We invite you to take part in that. There are so many kind of felt needs and concerns in the church right now that I wanted to take a moment today and pray for some of these situations. There are some perilous pregnancies in the church family. There are friends who are near death. There are people who need jobs. There are kids who need direction. And the pastor's wife needs new knees. And I'm not supposed to say that, but it's true. So we're going to pray for these things. Support me in this, friends. HIPAA violation? All right. Well, it's so important that we pray for each other. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you have a burden, if you have something that you want to be prayed for, I'm going to ask you to do a hard thing. I'm going to ask you to come up here and share the burden. And we'll pray for it. Okay? Remember what I said about being vulnerable and how that can be the beginning and a release. So I'm going to prime the pump a little bit because we have a brother who has a burden. Bill, will you come up? Bill had to pray and lead, but he's carrying a terrible burden.
I have a dear, dear friend. His name's Bill Dunbar, who's laying in the hospital right now, and he had hip replacement surgery. No knee. Yeah. Anyway, he went through the surgery fine, got back to his room, and his heart failed. And he has not fully recovered, and Monday his family has to make a decision on what they're going to do next. This is one of the men in my life who taught me what it is like to be a Christian mentor. Mm-hmm. And he is dear, dear to me. Mm-hmm. So I would like to pray for him.
Yeah. So please join me in praying. Dear Lord, I in talking to Bill and listening to Bill, I know that this is a precious son of yours, Bill Dunbar. And we have to be reminded that you love him even more than we do. And with that knowledge, Lord, I just pray for all those who love Bill dearly, that they will know your comfort. I pray for the family that has tough decisions to make, that you will give them wisdom, that you'll give them strength, that you'll give them faith. And Lord, we pray for that dear soul right now who's kind of hovering in between, that he would have peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, you can be a proxy just like he was. Bob?
This is not a privacy violation because it involves me.
Right, right.
Okay, so State Farmers, you can't say anything about this because I haven't told my superiors, but I'm going to be retiring from State Farm in about 6 months. Thank you. Thank you.
That's from someone who's done it.
Yes, thank you. And the reason why I bring that up is before I leave, I have to get some medical things corrected. And so I'm going to have knee replacement surgery here in the next month or so. And it looks like I also have to have my nose fixed because I can't breathe. And so I'm not really looking forward to either of those things, but it's something that I have to do before I leave. So I would just appreciate some prayer about that.
You got it, brother. Lord, I know Bob as a tough guy, as a wrestler, as a football player, as a guy who knows how to inflict as well as endure pain. But Lord, I also know him as a tender, tender soul, and as a grandpa and dad and an elder who is so obedient to your spirit. So I lift him up. I lift him up as somebody that takes courage to do the two things he's going to do, to retire and to submit to these surgeries. And so I pray for his heart, pray for his whole body as he undergoes all these things. And Lord, we pray for the procedures, that they will accomplish what they're intended to accomplish. Give Candy and the kids and grandkids all great peace and the ability to help him as needed. And may Bob just always know that you are his protector, provider, and healer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Bob. Anybody else? Yeah, I want to. That's why I'd like you to come up here. Becky, would you come up here, please? I say. Becky's sister is going to be induced on Tuesday. And you'll hear a little bit more about this in the message, but it is a very tenuous time for both her and the baby. And she's a woman of great faith. She's a woman who ministers to the rest of us in her life fabulously. But right now, she's on pins and needles. So Becky is here as proxy for Kristen. All right? Will you join me? Lord, today we're going to read about how you had Isaiah directed and loved and protected when he was in the womb. And we read this over and over. There's a little baby in the womb, my grandchild. Boy or girl, we don't know. But we do know, Lord, that we call upon you to give Kristen and that baby safe passage through this time, that the baby would be born well and that Kristen would do well. And may we all do well as the day approaches. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. What would you share with us?
I don't know that I can even put words. My extended family is dealing with lots of struggles, and I'm having a hard time just finding happiness in a world that is so, so hurting.
Mm.
And so much that's affecting my life and, mm-hmm. and my family. And I know that God is the one that can heal that. And bring peace, and I want to feel that.
Join us. Dear Lord, thank you for this courageous woman, this lover. I know her by reputation as a great lover of souls, of people, of your kingdom. Lord, right now, her heart's on fire because it hurts for her extended family. Lord, you know last night I was with an extended family that's just shattered, and they don't know what to do with each other. And these are times where we ask you, Lord, to fix things that don't seem like they're fixable. And that is the pride and the unwillingness to ask for grace and to give it. I pray, Lord, that you will pour down from your throne the oil of gladness over this dear soul and her family. Heal these situations by your word and by your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Thanks. I want to tell you something. You've got a shirt there that has a great word on it. And my favorite bumper sticker is, encourage your hopes and not your fears. Yeah. All right. You're not wearing one that says fear. You're wearing one that says hope. All right. Thanks. Hey, brother.
I can't go into a lot of detail right now.
No, you don't need to be sorry for anything.
I need for you to pray for my wife, Karen. She's really struggling right now.
I'm glad you're here. Kat, would you come up too? I got an arm for you. This is Kent's daughter. Spirit of God, who's moving in this place, who's unearthing things that hurt. As I hold my brother and sister here, I think of the one that you're holding right now, and that's Karen. Lord, I pray for protection for Karen's body and mind and soul right now. And Lord, I pray that you will penetrate whatever it is that is hurting her and that you will dissolve it. Lord, may she today come to some kind of clarity and resolution about those things which would destroy her. And may she receive mercy. We sang, or Dan sang, morning by morning, new mercies. I pray for mercy over Karen, for healing. Lord, we can't do it. You can, and you will. And you've asked, and you've commanded that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. So for these two dear ones that I hold, may they know that you hold Karen in the palm of your hand, as we're going to read today. She's engraved in the palm of your hand, and you'll never turn away from her. And may she know that because of your great love. Thank you for the broken hearts that you mend. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, thank you. I don't want to let you go. All right. Daniel Schutz, I'd like you to come up here. Daniel shares with us a prayer about a dear friend of his. And this is one of the most interesting situations. Tell folks about Harriet.
Oh, Harriet's a friend of mine who's going to be 100 in December, and she's in the process of dying at a nursing home. And so I visit her every week, and she cries out, you know, Lord, help me. All day long, so I just want her to cross over and be in glory.
There's a part of us that would love to have her see 100, but that's robbery. That's robbery. Let's pray for Harriet. Okay. Lord, it's the truth that you view us with an eternal perspective, that the unborn babies we pray for are as known to you as Harriet, who is almost 100. And what's also true is that you're no respecter of persons, but that you love them, that you care for them, that you provide for them. Lord, we do pray for Harriet today. You have kept her alive for a reason, for a blessing, for a witness. And we don't pray that her life comes to an end, but we pray for your best for Harriet. And we pray that in her agony that she expresses, which is not fear, but just is a longing, Lord, that you would meet her at that point and grant her peace. And I thank you for Daniel's love and commitment to his dear friend, Harriet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah. Okay. Bruce's son and daughter-in-law live on the border in Arizona, and he's on the border patrol. And that agent who was killed a few weeks ago is the guy that Adam worked with. And so there is tension in their everyday lives, but Shanae has recently been diagnosed with cancer. And these are people in their 20s. And I remember Shanae when she was at U High with my kids, and She is a cheerleader and all, you know, just vibrant and all these things. And now she's staring at this, and she's on a chemo program right now, too. So please join me as we lift up Adam and Shanae. Lord, there's no distance in prayer, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Right now, I pray that you will reach down and touch Shanae and Adam, that in whatever their situation right now, there would be a sense of something beyond their immediate pain and their immediate concerns, and that you care. Lord, maybe it's a TV show. Maybe it's something they read. Maybe it's a song they hear. Maybe it's a neighbor or a friend. Maybe it's an email from someone who loves them. But Lord, I pray that you would speak hope and faith into their lives. And these extreme measures that Shanae is undergoing, Lord, we pray that they will have extremely great results. Give them faith, hope, and love. Teach them about yourself, we pray, and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for coming up. For those who are visiting, we've never done this before. So don't think this is something we do every week. Anybody else?
This is taking a long time.
Oh, come on.
You can start talking about cancer and I got to thinking about Cookie.
Oh, all right. Share about your friend Cookie.
Young man that I work with, and the only name I know him by is Cookie. But he has just been diagnosed with cancer. He's in the hospital in Peoria. He's undergoing chemotherapy. He's only been given about a 60% chance of surviving it. He's 18 years old.
18.
He's a beautiful young man. He's willing to learn.
Ah.
Get along with people.
Ah.
I hate it.
Yeah, I hate it. You know what I love? I love that he knows you. And that's a good thing.
I hope that's an encouragement.
It is an encouragement. Let's pray for Cookie. Lord, you know his name. You know, you have a name for him that no one else knows. But we know him as Cookie. Lord, today, his world has just been rent asunder. This was not part of the plan. And these diagnoses are just brutal on family and on the person. We pray for him, Lord. I pray for him as well, that today in that hospital, he'll receive a message of hope and faith. And Lord, whatever you'd have Lynn do, show him, because Lynn will obey. Show Lynn, empower him. But above all, Lord, we pray for healing to flow over Cookie, that these measures they take will be effective. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for loving your friend. This sermon just gets shorter and shorter. And if you want no sermon, folks. Anybody else? All right. Oh, here we go. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi. My friend, Courtney, sorry, I might cry.
No, you're going to cry, so we'll just put up with that.
Her grandma got hurt this week, and she might have broken one of her, or a couple of her neck bones, or fractured them. She doesn't really know, and she's not close to home right now. So I know she's, one, feeling homesick, and two, she doesn't really have anybody to talk to about it without getting stressed out by her family members. So I don't think it's by chance that she told me about this week and asked me to pray for her.
Okay.
So I figure, why
Let's
not?
Do
there's
it.
Power in prayer.
All right. There's a good one right there. Let's pray. So we're praying for Courtney's grandma, right? Do you know her
Virginia.
First name? Virginia. Lord, we pray for dear Virginia. You know precisely what has gone wrong. You know every subatomic particle of her body. Right now, Lord, I pray that her body is healing, that you're pouring healing. Lord, we pray that her healing will be astounding and that through this, you will you will build your glory and your faith. And we also pray for Courtney, who just feels kind of helpless. May she know that she's not helpless, because she has friends like Jasmine who love you and who lift them up. So, Lord, we pray for encouragement for all who love Virginia. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks. Anybody else? All right. Thank you, Lord. Brought some props up here today. How about this? Did a wedding yesterday, and I want to thank the Lord for Brittany and Eric, who are right now on their honeymoon, on their way to the Virgin Islands, I think. So we're praying for no hurricanes, but a good honeymoon. Weddings these days are so creative and unpredictable. Everyone that I do has a unique quality to it. And this was a beautiful wedding yesterday. But everyone, you know, sometimes it's bird seed or rice or whatever. Everyone was handed one of these. And I didn't know what to do with it. But I was walking out of, it was at Evelyn Chapel at Wesleyan. And I was walking out with this. When everyone, they had just signed their marriage license because they remembered it, not because I did. Because that's a little inside, I forgot theirs 2 weeks ago. And people were waving these. And I heard someone to my right, this was a wedding where the only people who really knew were Jesse and Josh and the Peep and Brinks. They're the only people we knew. So there's hundreds of people we don't know. And I'm walking by a group of people I don't know, and I hear this guy say, "I feel like I'm in a John Wayne movie." That's the weirdest thing I've ever. He said, "And John Wayne was the preacher." And I thought, John Wayne? Yeah. I just didn't get that, but. And I'm not sure it was a compliment. So, but I did want you to know about Brittany and Eric, and that it was a joyous, joyous, joyous time. It's a big week in America and in the world, and this has been in my office as long as I've been here. And I thought it was kind of an interesting way to jump into Isaiah this week. What would be some nicknames for Isaiah? Ike is the main one. It could be Izzy, it could be Zach, but Ike is the name. Friends, if you're reading Isaiah as I've asked you to, you're being blessed. And our slogan is, win with Ike. Okay? I hope you know who that is, young people. That's Dwight Eisenhower, whose nickname was Ike. And so, yeah, that was supposed to be a learning moment for all you people. This is in my office. Isaiah continues to speak loudly. Every week we start in the New Testament, and then we go to Isaiah. So this week, turn to Acts 13. I'm going to have to really truncate this because of communion, so I'm going to go fast. I'm going to ask you to try to stick with me. So the news of Jesus as the conquering, the death-conquering Messiah is spreading throughout the Mediterranean world. And the apostles, with signs and wonders accompanying them, are teaching the people about Jesus the Messiah. Now there's a part of that that we need to understand. Messiah is a Jewish thing. It's a Jewish understanding. It's a Jewish promise. And they're taking this word to those other than the Jews, to the Gentiles. And where did they get that notion? Well, they got that notion at Pentecost and at the move of God at Pentecost. They got that notion from Jesus. But if they really knew Isaiah, they got that notion as well from Isaiah. And so they're stirring things up. And if you know the story of Acts, they stirred things up to the point that it cost some of them their lives. They had to flee situations. They were brought before kings. They are stirring the pot with this news of Jesus. So let's pick up right here in Acts 13. And just because of time, we're going to pick up with verse 46. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside, the Jews, since you, the Jews, when the word was spoken, you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Please turn to Isaiah 49. And what I might do is just do part of this fabulous chapter this week and pick up with it next week, because it's that rich. And Ben, the things that you said were really helpful. I appreciate that. Those were good insights. So let's just start at the beginning here, and we're going to jump around this chapter a little bit. Chapter 49, verse 1. "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name." The prayer I had today. The understanding that the Lord knows us before we're known. That he has a name for us before we know our name. Isaiah, and here's something that I want to make sure, if you care about this stuff, then care about this. That the book of Isaiah has multiple applications of some key, very powerful and pregnant symbols and terms. And so here, we need to start looking at this and saying, Isaiah is talking about himself. And we see that at the beginning of this book, he's reluctant. He doesn't feel worthy. But God has singled him out. God has acted so that Isaiah knows that he's called and he's supported and that he's going to have to give his life for this calling. So Isaiah here he's establishing something, that what I'm going to share with you does not come from me. It comes from my calling, and I've been called by God. And then he goes on to say these things about how the way he's been gifted or the way he's been called is cutting. It's piercing. Sharp sword, arrow. But let's go on to a very key verse. Verse 3, "And he said to me, 'You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified.'" This chapter, friends, is one of those Old Testament prophecies that we need to understand has two fulfillments, if not three. This chapter, and I said this last week, but it's so true, that Hebrew scholars, especially throughout the millennia, those that we would call Orthodox Jews, those who believe in the Old Testament as God's written revelation, would say, this chapter is about us. This chapter is about Israel. And they would be right. But those who have seen beyond that and understand that Jesus himself and the entire New Testament give testimony to the fact that these words are also about him. Now, we're going to do something that we haven't done yet. And I like this a lot. This helps me. This helps my faith. We're going to see how connected the Bible is. Now, what we read in Acts was written 800 years after Isaiah. But what Isaiah wrote was written hundreds of years after what Moses wrote. So what would Isaiah have had to read? He wouldn't have had a whole lot beyond the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. That's what he would have had to read. Whereas the New Testament authors had the Old Testament to read. So this thing builds on itself. And I want you to understand that. That you're going to, if you've been reading Isaiah, and you've been reading it with any kind of perceptiveness, you'll see, I've seen that phrase before, or something like that. Didn't Jesus say that? Doesn't Paul say that? Doesn't the New Testament? Yeah, it does. But before it was said there, it was said here. Now look at this. Turn to Exodus 19. And here, again, because of time, we're going to pick up with verse 3. Just the last line of verse 2. There Israel encamped before the mountain. While Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel. So same audience as Isaiah, right? Jacob, Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Last week, we ended our study of Isaiah 40. You will mount up with wings as eagles. You will walk and not be weary. You will run and not faint. A good verse for us next Sunday, by the way. Where did Isaiah get this picture of the eagle's wings bearing up, strengthening, getting over? He got it from this. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. If you've been reading Isaiah, you have seen 10 times at least, for all the earth is the Lord. For the Lord is the maker and keeper of all the earth. All the earth is his. Isaiah pounds that drum over and over. Now here's what's interesting. All the earth is his. This people is his. But what about all the other people? They're his too. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The purpose of his people was to share his glory. It was to share it to all the people. And that is set forth early on in the life of this people. That's who you're to be. They did a terrible job. Let's go back to Isaiah. Verse 5. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. Friends, remember, the patriarch Jacob, Jacob's well, God changed his name to Israel, one who struggles with God. Throughout the Bible, Jacob and Israel stand for God's people. Okay, so don't be confused by these things. God's people. He who formed me. I've circled me, and by it I've written Isaiah and Jesus. Think of the incarnation. Think of how the Holy Spirit came to Mary and formed in her womb Jesus to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him. How is it that we have been brought to God? How is it that we have been reconciled to God? Isaiah is a cool guy, but he didn't reconcile us to God. Jesus did, has, will. He is formed to be the reconciler. That Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. I think about Jesus knowing what awaited him and what in the world got him through. Trust me, he had memorized Isaiah. And he would come before the Father and he'd say, it's going to be a tough day. I know it's going to be a tough day. Father, uphold me that you formed me in my mother's womb for this day, for this redemption, for this fixing what's broken. And then he would heal people. And he would teach what was true to give people hope and faith. Again, we're going to stop with this right here just because we don't have time. But there's so much we'll get to next week. Look at verse 6. And I love this verse, not just because of what it says about salvation history, but I love this verse because what it tells us about God. We can so, I mean, today we prayed for some really tough situations, and it can be so easy for us to say, well, that's just too much. That's too much to ask. That's too much to expect God to do, because it would be a miracle. And we don't really have those, do we? Yeah, we do. What's God's economy about what he can do? Look at this. He says in verse 6, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Friends, for today, for right now, for our felt needs right now, our real needs, we must not think that God is not able. And we must understand that he knows the weight and the heaviness, and that it is too light a thing for us to think, God, you can touch this part of my life, but this part's done for. This part's done in. Lord, you can help me here, but over here, I'm so broken I can't be fixed. Or my friend, my loved one, they're so broken they can't be fixed. No, look at this verse. I'm going to save the whole world. I'm going to save the whole world. I don't know how many of us in here were born Jewish. Harvey's not here today. We're Gentiles. We are living this verse. Let's live the power of this verse and the hope knowing that God doesn't just look at what are for him the stated easy things. No, he looks at everything, and he's without limit. Without limit. Bob, let's lead us to communion. We'll pick up there next week, friends. So what is our assurance? What is our confidence? Our confidence is in what happened in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. That's where all this focuses. And so on the first Sunday of the month, we bring our focus back to this. And here's what I ask you to do. And Bob said it earlier, prepare your hearts to receive communion. If you have a problem with somebody that's in this room, or maybe even beyond this room, if your heart's on fire because you're mad at somebody, I'd ask you to deal with that first. Deal with that. But if you're free of that, and you want to thank the Lord for his sacrifice for you, then you bring all your stuff up here with you, and you take in his mercy.